chapter 2, verses 37-47.
This is the word of the Lord. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart,
said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself."
And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." For those who received his word were baptized. They were added that day about 3,000 souls. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. Selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Baptism is into the church. Baptism brings one into the church. It is the visible sign of one's being united to the church, because it is the visible sign of one's being united Christ. When one is united to Christ, he is united to his body. As the church is the body of Christ, to be a member of his body is to be a member of the church. See this in the promise that is declared in baptism. It is the promise of Ezekiel chapter 36 that we hear in verse 24. "I will take you from the nations, and I shall sprinkle clean water on you. And you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And I will put my spirit within you." In Ezekiel chapter 36, the Lord promises to gather his people from the nations, to cleanse them with water, to put his spirit within them. And this is the very thing that we find in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. As the Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, proclaims the gospel to the house of Israel, gathered in Jerusalem from the ends of the earth, when they are cut to the heart and ask, "What shall we do?" And Peter responds, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ,
for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
In Acts chapter 2, as foretold in Ezekiel chapter 36, we find the Lord gathering his people from the nations, washing them with water, forgiving their sins, and giving to them the promised Spirit. And remember what has just happened on this day of Pentecost. Remember the reason for which these men of Israel have been gathered together around the apostles. On that very day, the resurrected Christ ascended into heaven, poured out his Spirit upon the church. The church is that place where the Spirit has been poured out. Church is the resting place of the Spirit. Church is the body of Christ, because as the Spirit of Christ rests upon him, so also his Spirit rests upon her. And when one is baptized into his name and receives the gift of the Spirit, he is brought into the church. He becomes a part of the church, a part of that house that is the dwelling place of the Spirit. Baptism is into the church. It marks one's entrance into the church. For one to be baptized, but to remain outside the church, is like one who wears a wedding ring, but is not married. It does not make the symbol meaningless, but we do not enjoy the reason for which it is given. The promise of baptism is the promise of the Spirit. The one who is baptized is received into the fellowship of the Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 39, we are told that that promise is for you and for your children. So the sign of the promise is for you and for your children. Children are baptized with you. Enter the church with you. Whatever may be said of the church, may be said of them. Well, you may have been baptized upon repentance. Children are baptized unto repentance. But together you are members of the body of Christ. Together you share the name of Christ. Together you are sealed with the sign of his Spirit. Baptism is into the church. When one is baptized, he is brought into the church. And that is what we find in Acts chapter 2. Find it in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Those who were baptized in verse 41, where do we find them in verse 42? We do not find them scattered. We do not find them alone. We find them in the church. They devoted themselves teaching of the apostles and the fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers. Those that were baptized were not left to themselves. They became part of a community. They became part of a communion. We see them not only devoted to the teaching of the apostles, we see them also devoted to the fellowship. What did this mean, that they were devoted to the fellowship? It may sound somewhat awkward in English. If we fill out the phrase,
makes good sense.
They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the fellowship. That is to say, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the fellowship of the apostles. But what is the fellowship of the apostles? What are we to understand by that phrase? Have we ever used it of ourselves? Have we ever said of ourselves that we are devoted to the fellowship of the apostles? Surely we would say that we are devoted to their teaching. Would we say that we are devoted to the fellowship? That seems strange, to be devoted to the fellowship of the apostles.
Consider what the Apostle John says
in his first letter to the church. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was in the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. Now, of whom does John speak when he says that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have touched? He is speaking the apostles, for it was the apostles who heard him with their own ears and saw him with their own eyes and touched him with their own hands. Whom did they hear? Whom did they see? Whom did they touch? Of course, it was the Lord, the life that was made manifest. Remember how the Gospel of Luke ended, when the resurrected Christ stood in the midst of the disciples. What did he say to them? See my hands and my feet, that it is I. Touch me and see. The Lord Jesus appointed the apostles to be authoritative witnesses to his death and resurrection. The Lord Jesus appointed the apostles to proclaim with authority what they had heard, what they had seen, even what they had touched. But to what end? To what end were they to proclaim what they had heard and what they had seen? The Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Now, if we are familiar with the gospel, would have never read the first letter of John. When first reading it, we might be surprised when we hear him say, so that you may have fellowship with us. We might be expecting him to say, so that you may have fellowship with God, or so that you may have fellowship with Christ. And that is what he goes on to say at the end of verse 3. But he says, and indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. However surprised we may be, the meaning is clear. You cannot have fellowship with the Father and with his Son if you do not have fellowship with the apostles. But their fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. How are we brought into fellowship with the Father and with his Son? We are brought into fellowship with them, with fellowship with the apostles. How are we brought into fellowship with the apostles? Where do we find this fellowship? We find it in the church. The fellowship of the church is the fellowship of the apostles. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles, Christ himself, cornerstone. This is why the Nicene Creed confesses one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. For a church to be a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it must be apostolic. It must hold to the teaching of the apostles. it must uphold the teaching of the apostles. For the teaching of the apostles is not their own.
The teaching of the apostles is the teaching of Christ.
And the authority of the apostles is not their own. The authority of the apostles is the authority of Christ. If a church does not hold to the teaching of the apostles, then it is not a true church. For God is not pleased that we should have fellowship with him apart from fellowship with them. Wherever the teaching of the apostles is honored. Wherever the teaching of the apostles is observed. There we may be sure that we have fellowship with them. More than this, there we may be sure that we have fellowship with him. To be baptized, it's not only to be bound by a set of doctrines about Christ. It is to be united to the life of his body. It is to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. It is to be devoted to the apostles' fellowship. It is to be devoted to the life of the apostolic church. What does it mean to be devoted to the life of the apostolic church? How does one enjoy the fellowship? There is much one could say in answer to that question. As we work our way through this passage, there will be more to say. But for now, tonight, we find a summary of that answer in verse 42. Notice what immediately follows this devotion to the fellowship of the apostles. This devotion to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now that too might sound somewhat awkward in English. We can make it even more awkward by recognizing that it is not simply devotion to the breaking of bread, but to the breaking of the bread. They devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers. However strange it may sound, you can recognize that there is a kind of formality to it. It is not simply devotion to the breaking of bread, a devotion to prayer, but to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers. have here a description of the church's worship. The prayers of verse 42 are not praying in general. The prayers of verse 42 are the formal prayers of the church offered in worship. And likewise, this breaking of the bread. It is not the breaking of bread in general. It is the breaking of the bread. And what is this bread? The bread that is broken. It's a description of the Lord's Supper. Remember what Luke records at the end of his gospel. Luke chapter 24, verse 35. That Christ was made known to his disciples in the breaking of the bread. In Luke chapter 2, verse 42, we find a summary of the life of those who are baptized. It is a summary of the life of the church and the fellowship of the apostles. And that life and fellowship are expressed first and foremost in the church's gathering together for worship. The life and fellowship of the church, the life and fellowship of the apostles, the life and fellowship of Christ is first and foremost known in the church's worship. When she is gathered together to hear teaching of the apostles and to partake of the Lord's Supper, to hear what they have heard, to see what they have seen, to touch what they have touched. With them, raise her voice to him in prayer. This is the fellowship of the apostles. Baptism becomes yours, that their joy may be complete, that your joy may be complete. Baptism is into the church. Let us then devote ourselves teaching of the apostles, fellowship, the breaking of the bread, to the church's prayers.